We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Buddy, good morning, and another edition of Roto Grinders NBA Morning Grind. The boys are back together. You're getting us twice in 1 week, three times if you're into the Food for Thought podcast. But hey, I'm the Looch, and I'm here with the Chief. What's going on, Will Priestley?
Nothing much, brother. Hanging out, talking props, talking NBA fantasy. Let's get rolling here, brother. Plenty of things to discuss.
10 game slate. We had a really light slate on Tuesday, which I'm still in a tilting mood from it because CJ McCollum decided not to show up. He took the shots, but he didn't show up. I die on that hill that was the right play with the usage bump without Zion and Ingram and Herb Jones. But hey, that's if betting was foolproof, we'd all be too rich.
Yes, we would.
Let's just kick it off. We got 2 7 o'clock Eastern games, Orlando and Cleveland. Doesn't sound like a game where there's going to be a lot of firepower from a macro point of view, but it is worth noting that Darius Garland is listed as out. So you would think that someone like Donovan Mitchell would get an even bigger usage bump. Our guy Donovan Mitchell has been nothing short of incredible, playing mega minutes. He's had 50-plus DK points in each of his three games, and he's putting up peripherals that he's never putting up before. Now he's going to get the ball in his hands. Can you pay $9,500 for Donovan Mitchell? Like, is this the real Donovan Mitchell? Is he a peripheral guy now? Is he hitting 30-plus a game? Is he just on a crazy heater? Who is this version of Donovan Mitchell, Chief?
I like it. You know, when I'm seeing – so he had 9 assists against Toronto, 8 against Chicago, 4 against Washington, but he scored 37 points. He's been 30-plus. I don't see Orlando slowing him down. What I'm encouraged about, Luch, is the free throw attempts. Like, when guys are going to get close to 10 free throw attempts, he shot 9, 9, and 6, which means he's averaging eight free throw attempts a game. That's his average. I'll take it, right? For a guy that's going to probably hit 6 of 8, 7 of 8, going to help increase that point total, doing the other little things. I don't think people want to pay $9,500, and I think I do.
I think I do too, because he's not going to carry any ownership. He has a career career usage rate of 31, and he's been nothing under 34% in either of these three games. So, listen, is he going to drop 30-plus points a game and score 50 DK points a game? Probably not, but he's priced like it, and I don't know if I want to call chasing it, but you knock Darius Garland out of the equation, who's a big usage guy, and you have a prime matchup with Orlando. I'm willing to quote-unquote chase it at least one more game here, especially if he's going to come at no ownership.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in on Donovan Mitchell for sure on this Cleveland team. I really wish Jared Allen would just produce 40 points every game, and I could get behind playing him as well. But I feel like on this team, the only guy I really want to play is Mitchell. He seems to be the guy that's going to be leading the charge in terms of fantasy points. Caris LeVert didn't show up for us against Washington. But I don't care about that. He's 6,200 now, so he's even more expensive. I still actually think he's okay because he's playing big minutes. So he's getting minutes in the mid-30s. It's just a matter of time before he has a 25 actual real point game and Mitchell has a 30 point game and they're assisting off of each other and rebounding off of each other and playing together. And maybe it's this game against Orlando, but I don't think I want to take the chance. But Mitchell, I'm in on, especially because I don't think he's going to get the ownership.
On the other side of the ball, Orlando running a fairly condensed rotation. To me, you know, Cleveland's not a team I really like targeting against. And a lot of these Magic players are priced accordingly. You know, Banchero's 7,500. You know, Wendell Carter Jr. is almost 7K, which is about right. You know, Cole Anthony at 61. I'm not targeting him on this 10-game slate, especially against a slow Cleveland team. And Franz Wagner, 6,100 as well. I really can't get behind playing any Magic, and I'm willing to toss a lot of them out here.
Yeah, I don't think this is the spot per se. I mean, I know, you know, I know Paolo's been good. I think at 7,500, though, it feels like he's going to play better teams or teams that aren't going to be as high-pitched. And I'm not saying Cleveland's playing incredibly slow, but I feel like they're going to play better defense overall. Like, look at them against Boston, look at them against the Knicks, then look at them against Detroit, and look at them against Atlanta. And not that Atlanta is a bad team, but Atlanta's going to play at a really higher pace than I think this Cleveland team will overall. So, Paolo, I also think, is a good tournament play, though, for what it's worth. But, you know, I don't feel like I have to have – I don't feel like his ceiling is as high as it is when he's going to play someone like the Spurs.
One down, nine to go. Speaking of Atlanta, they're hosting – they're actually on the road against Detroit, who's playing on the second leg of a back-to-back. Are we going to see any second leg rest days for any of these guys who are super young? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they baby Cade Cunningham a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I would think that nobody on Detroit would sit, but it's Tuesday night and the Pistons are the Pistons. So they're taking on Atlanta. And, you know, we talked about this Detroit team, and you know what? Their pricing is pretty much has caught up already, I think, to, you know, the roles of the guys in this team. We got 7K for Jaden Ivey. You know, Sadiq Bey, you know, you mentioned he's going to disappear from time to time, and I think you're right. With all the mouths to feed in this offense, he does still have GPP appeal at 6K in this Atlanta matchup. You know, if I'm playing one lineup, I don't know if I'm playing Sadiq Bey, but he still has 6 to 7X upside at 5,900. Bogdanovich has been really good, too, at 5,400. So just from a price standpoint, I think – you know, I like Sadiq Bey enough to have him in the player pool. You know, like the cheaper Pistons enough because their rotation is pretty condensed. But if you're running, you know, someone from Atlanta like Trae Young or DeJounte Murray, I can't fault you for running it back with Cade or Jaden Ivey and hoping you get a ceiling game either. So I'm not crazy about the Pistons, but I kind of prefer these cheaper guys at some tournament dart throws.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. If, you know, if you're going to play Detroit, it's a cheap, like, I don't hate Bogdanovich in this spot in a game where they're going to get up and down. And he's going to be probably stroking and have some wide open shots. Like at 5,400, you know, he's definitely a guy that I would consider. I don't mind Isaiah Stewart in this spot where he might have to, you know, play higher minutes or play enough minutes because he's going to have to deal with Clint Capella, who's, you know, played 32 minutes against Orlando, 23 against Charlotte, 26 against Houston. I'm assuming he's going to be around 28 or so. So I don't hate Stewart. And, you know, we talked about Bay, but see, Bay at 5,900 is a lot different than Bay at, you know, 6,500. You know what I mean? Like, totally different price here. And, you know, he was 6K against Orlando, 5,700 against the Knicks, 5,500 against Indiana. Like, but you see the difference, right? Indiana is a spot he just kind of went slap out, and against the Knicks, that was just a weird game. But a team like Indiana, he's going to thrive. No defense up and down. You know, he'll have some block and steal opportunities, probably have a few more open shots. Playing against Atlanta, I think he's okay. But once again, man, I think this is the Ivy and Cunningham show.
Can we talk about Atlanta? Because DeJounte Murray and Trae Young have proven to coexist in fantasy basketball. They're flashing 5x upside at almost 10k together. They've hit it together in a couple of games so far. They're both filling up the stat sheet. Also, the training wheels are off John Collins. They're playing John Collins 35 minutes finally. He's the guy who I like in this matchup too for tournaments. But Murray and Trae Young, like, there are outcomes where they both put up 50 together, and we've seen it already in a couple of games. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Playing against Detroit, this is definitely a spot where it could come together. But they're both, you know, pushing 10K here. So push, you know, taking two 10K players from one team, you know, that's not something I think I want to do unless it's the right spot. I don't think Detroit is quite the right spot for it. So I may end up not playing either of them. You know, John Collins, he's been fantastic to start the season. He's 6,800. He's playing big minutes. Maybe I get in on some John Collins and hope he's the guy that has the upside game against Detroit.
Yeah, you know, on a 10-gamer, I don't know if I'd play Trey and DeJounte together. If we're talking like a 4-game slate, I'd say, hey, throw the correlation out. They can make it optimally together. But, you know, I'm definitely interested in playing at least one of those guards. And John Collins, if you're going to give me 35 minutes, especially with his blocks and steals upside for a big man under 7K in this matchup against a young, sloppy team like Detroit, I think he's super appealing as well. The kicker here is Bogdanovich, you know, is out for Atlanta. The battle of the brothers is not happening because Bogey is out. So that's one less mouth to feed. Once he comes back, because he commands some usage, then it might get a little helter-skelter with DeJounte and Trey Murray because, you know, he's going to steal some of those shots away. Anything else in this one, or do you want to head on to Philly and Toronto?
Man, let's get that Philly and Toronto.
You know, a game that just feels ugly because it typically is kind of ugly when these two teams square off. I mean, you know what you're getting out of Philly, right? You have two high-usage guys. They haven't been able to click together in the same game so far this season. James Harden's looked fantastic. I mean, he the rumors of him losing weight, all that stuff, he does look good. And we're seeing a little bit more of that vintage James Harden. What are your thoughts on Philly here? And, of course, Tyrese Maxey's sitting there at sub-6K as well.
Well, first of all, I don't think Tyrese Maxey should be sub-6K in a matchup with the Toronto Raptors. Like, let me just put that out there. Now, it's not like Maxey's going to go out and get 40 a game. That's not the case. Like we saw against Indiana the other night, which is the game where he probably should have went off, comes up with 17 fantasy points. And that's how it's going to be for him, I think, because he's got two stud high-usage guys, essentially. So he's not going to pop off every night. But as long as he's at these price levels in good spots, I think we can take him. I'm so glad to see James Harden back to being the James Harden of fantasy that we know and love, borderline triple-double every game. You know. So for instance, Luz, he scored 12 points against San Antonio, 2 blocks a steal, 12 assists, 9 rebounds. Like that's what I want to see from James Harden when the scoring isn't there, right? Get us the fantasy points in other ways. Playing Toronto today, I definitely think this is a spot where we can take a shot at James Harden here. I think it's a good spot for him. This game's going to be huge. Joel Embiid kind of letting us down outside of the San Antonio game where he dropped 40. But here's what I know about Embiid, Luch. He's not going to really get going until the middle of the season consistently, right? Like right now, I think we're going to see a 40-point game, a 38-point game, a 60-point game, you know, a 35-point game, so forth and so on. But as the season we get deeper into the season, all of a sudden you notice he starts hitting 28, 30 points a game, back to back to back to back to back. I think we'll be about 25 games in before we see Embiid just completely dominate and this team turn a corner and start to really pile up some wins consecutively. So I don't mind Embiid against Toronto, but I don't love Embiid. I'd much rather just go ahead and take Siakam on the other side at 8,800. Who's going to play a lot more consistent right now.
Yeah, I mean, you could say, well, guys, both these teams are at the bottom of the league in pace, and I know it's only a couple games in the season, and neither team traditionally plays very fast, so, you know, you know what you're getting. My counter would be James Harden gets all of his action in the half-court offense. He's not getting assists in transition and things like that. He's doing it off the ISO ball and finding the open shooters, and he's scoring in the half-court offense. So I don't care about pace when it comes to James Harden, to be honest with you. So I like both these guys for tournaments, and if we're going to get decent ownership on Harden, which we might on a 10-game slate in a matchup which a lot of people probably just are going to scoff at and say, well, it's just, it's not a great matchup to target for fantasy in Toronto. I'm going to say, hey, let's play some James Harden. He's looking really well. I like your thoughts on Siakam. Philly just always seems to get crushed by opposing star players. You're supposed to let the scrubs beat you, not the stars. And Philly says, no, we're going to make life difficult and let the stars light us up. It is worth noting that Scotty Barnes is definitely questionable, which, you know, is a big deal. That would make me feel a little bit better about rostering a guy like Gary Trent or something like that if he's out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything else, or do you want to lead us into your Charlotte Hornets and the Knicks?
Let's go to Charlotte and the Knicks, and let's start with the Charlotte Hornets, who have been missing some pieces. The Melo Ball, you know, sat out. Terry Rozier is doubtful, so I don't think he's going to play. Cody Martin is doubtful. I don't think he's going to play. So that's going to lead us to Gordon Hayward, who's 6,500 and should be carrying a slight bulk of the scoring. Don't look now, folks, but Dennis Smith Jr. is back in the NBA, and he's been helping lead the charge for the Hornets to try to help us stay afloat. You know, it's just we've got some guys here. P.J. Washington's playing. Kelly Oubre's playing. He's 6,200 now. You know, Plumlee's 5,200. He's playing enough minutes. But I think if I had to play two guys, it's Oubre and it's Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, I agree. We're not going to have a lot of, you know, data because Dennis Smith wasn't in this equation last season. But, you know, if Rozier's out, and, man, I could just – I always get Gordon Hayward wrong. But Hayward – honestly, Hayward, even PJ, if he plays his full allotment of minutes, Oubre and Dennis Smith all have 40 DK point upside. So would I play more than one of them against the Knicks? I wouldn't feel great about it if I'm playing one lineup. It's just hard to pick who's going to be the guy, right? So if any of these guys are chalk, I might shy away from that guy and maybe pivot somewhere else if you like this, you know, matchup for Charlotte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rozier in the mix.
Absolutely.
On the flip side, we know your Hornets don't like to play defense, so what are you looking at from the Knicks standpoint?
I mean, the Knicks should have a field day here. Jalen Brunson down to 6,600. That's very exciting for me. I definitely think this is a guy that can put up numbers in this spot, like big-time numbers. So I like him a lot. Is it the Julius Randle show tonight? It sure better be. At 8,200, this feels like a good spot for Julius Randle to put up another 60 spot. I was really hoping the Knicks were going to give Obi Toppin more minutes this season, like 25 minutes a game. I mean, gosh, man, just give the guy the minutes that he's due. Centers have been destroying Charlotte. Fire up Mitchell Robinson, 5,300. Go ahead. This is a prime time spot to play him, folks. Isaiah Hartenstein's been getting, you know, miniature minutes, but at 5K, I don't want to do it. I'd much rather play Mitch Rob. Hartenstein's got upside, but he doesn't have the minutes. Mitch Rob has the minutes. I think this is a great spot for those of you that are going to be in the prop shop or in the prop streets. I can tell you right now, Mitch Rob over rebounds is probably going to be a thing for me tomorrow. If we get him at any type of fantasy points prop on Prize Picks or anything like that, then hey, I'm in on that as well.
Yeah, I'm assuming Brunson will be popular in cash. Randle should be popular at 8,200 as well. But I really like both of those plays quite a bit, Randle and Brunson. Mitch Rob is a tournament play for me. He has sick upside if he doesn't get in foul trouble. So, and actually plays, you know, 25, 30 minutes at that price. So a lot of interest here in the Knicks.
Absolutely.
All right, moving on here. Brooklyn and Milwaukee. got a heavyweight bout in the East. 7:30 Eastern. I mean, we know who's in this game and who's out of this game for the most part, right? Like, you're still missing Seth Curry. You're still missing Middleton. It looks like Pat Connaughton's out here. Giannis loves to show out against Brooklyn here. We might have a very entertaining game on our hands here, Chief. What are you thinking about this one?
Absolutely. I love this spot for Giannis, which Giannis has been playing fine all season anyway. So it's not like he hasn't been playing well, but – look, man, this is another 60-plus spot for Giannis. I mean, this is definitely another 60-plus spot. So I'm very excited to get some Giannis shares in here and do the darn thing, man. I'm very excited. I mean, this is going to be insanely good.
I love Giannis. Favorite stud tonight. Also, like, I'm totally okay with having a Kyrie or KD run back. Because the volume's there. There's no one else to take volume away from either of these guys. And you got a vintage matchup here between two East powerhouses, two of the favorites in the East probably right now that want to make a statement early in October here and get some momentum going. You know, Kyrie's still pretty cheap. Durant's under 10K. Like, I think one of them will go for 50. So I don't care about the Jrue Holiday matchup with Kyrie. Everyone switches on ball screens anyway in the NBA. So I don't want to hear about Drew's going to lock Kyrie down. And maybe Kyrie has an off game. Knocked the rust off in his first game, you know, shot like 33% from the floor or something. Took almost 25 shots in the next two games, though. What is DFS about? Opportunity and volume. So, you know, I think Giannis should be pretty popular, even on the 10-gamer. Like, he's going to carry some ownership here. So I love the idea of having a Brooklyn run back with one of these studs to kind of mitigate some of that Giannis ownership.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't think it's a necessity to do a run back, right? But I think if you're looking for a way to differentiate some of your Giannis builds, forcing one of those Brooklyn studs with them, right? And maybe you get overtime and they both go for 65, and then what? Then you're sitting pretty.
Absolutely.
Anyone else? I mean, Bobby Portis, 5,600. Of course, you know, he's not really playing the minutes, despite no Chris Middleton. You know, Brooke Lopez.
But against Brooklyn, though, if he gets 20, he's playing 22 to 23 minutes, but he's been putting up enough. Like, he's a guy that has real upside in that amount of time if he comes in and gets going. So I don't hate that for him. I think Durant could have a good game, too. But I don't think I just don't feel like Durant has the same upside, right, as he used to.
I think I'd rather play Kyrie than Durant tonight.
Here's what I will say. Don't laugh at me, okay?
I don't laugh at you.
And we will move on. At some point, the Ben Simmons game is coming. It is coming. Like, he's going to get rolling here. Like, and what I'm looking at, look at these assist numbers the past two games. 5 game 1, 8 game 2, 8 game 3, 10 rebounds against Toronto, 3 against a Memphis team that should rebound pretty well, like Conchar and Adams and all that. They're going to rebound. But the big Ben Simmons game is coming. He did foul out in that game against Memphis. He's fouled out twice this season. This is not going to continue. The big game from Ben Simmons is coming. Might not be this one, but I do want to put that on people's radar. He's 6,500. It's coming.
Maybe not. He shot 13 total times in 3 games. So,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's – he's going to start getting dunks and layups. You know what I'm saying? Out of transition, pick up a few of those extra buckets. I'm just – it's coming.
Heard it here first. All right. Indy and Chicago.
Woo!
Yep.
This,
it looks like
this is a good one.
Zach LaVine's going to play, right? So that complicates things a little bit here because we love playing DeMar DeRozan when Zach LaVine's out. You know, Vucevic is under 8K. He finally had a 50 DK point game. Vucevic has had 2 games with 15 plus rebounds so far. And I don't know who's going to physically stick him. If Miles Turner doesn't play, he is questionable. He hasn't played yet. Even if he plays, he's not going to play a lot. So, like, I'm looking at Chicago and I'm thinking, wow, I like this price on Vucevic, you know, despite LaVine being back in this matchup here.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Voop should continue. I mean, that big rebound game he had was huge. And he's not going to get 23, but I definitely think 10 to 13 is in his wheelhouse for this spot. Don't you? Like, that's reasonable. Even though he's had 2 in terms of he's had two, he's had 40 rebounds between two games this season already. And then throw in another 12. So he's had 52 rebounds in four games. That's well over 10 rebounds a game. I think 12 to 13 rebounds is probably expected, although I'm going to trim that down and say 10 to 13, I think, is more reasonable. So I like Vucevic at 7,900. Like, that's – it's just – it's fair, but I think – I still think it's too cheap. You know, we've got DeRozan here at 8,900, who continues to play well, but I don't think I want to play 8,900 DeRozan, even though they're playing Indiana, which is a team he should light up, with Zach LaVine being back. And they do stagger those guys pretty well. I still prefer to just avoid him.
You know, on the flip side, Tyrese Haliburton should be 9K. I know his salary is gradually rising, but we've talked about three guys now who I think so far in this pod that are just mispriced. Is Julius Randle's too cheap, especially in this matchup, but that's just the way it is. Julius Randle's too cheap. Vucevic, I think, is a little too cheap. And Tyrese Haliburton, I think, for his role on this offense, is too cheap. What do you think about Haliburton and anybody else on the Pacers?
I like Haliburton a lot. He's just been good, man. And the bottom line is he's leading the charge for this team. Like, even though they're bad, he's still going to be very productive, right? And so if Jalen Smith can keep playing the way he's been playing, then it's going to be hard to fade him, right? It's just going to be hard. So listen to these numbers here, which I know you've already looked at. He's 8,300, playing a Bulls team on the road. They could get blown out. But 19 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds the last game. 24 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds the game before that. 27 points, 12 assists, 3 rebounds the game before that. And then the first game of the season, 26 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. There's a theme here. The assist numbers, Luch, are off the charts, right? He's had double-digit assist plus in 3 or 4 games this season. I don't see that stopping against the Bulls. Even though I expect the Bulls to win this game, I still think the assist numbers are going to be there. So I like him a bunch, man. And I think this is a good spot for him. Bennedict Mathurin has been playing really well, you know, alongside him as well. He's been scoring and assisting. And just so, you know, rebounding. It's they're an interesting young team. And then once again, you throw in Jalen Smith at 5,700. Like, this could be a possible game stack situation if there ever was one, because you can run it back with Vooch and still play these guys. And even though you may leave out DeRozan, Vooch, Smith, Bennedict and Hallie, I think they could all get there because their combined salaries are cheaper than what it would be to run the Bulls players.
Another game with immense fantasy potential is the Spurs in Minnesota. And we don't have game totals in front of us yet at this time of the night on Tuesday. But I'm just imagining, you know, Gobert really helps this Minnesota defense. But running Cat at the four, I mean, there's some holes in this Minnesota defense still. And we know the Spurs don't play defense, and they're going to be playing fast. Devin Vassell is doubtful, so that's huge. I know Keldon Johnson really hasn't had the game yet, but if he's going to have the game, it's going to be without Vassell against Minnesota, I think. So kind of interested in some of these Spurs and this game as a whole.
Yeah, no Vassell. I mean, that's big because his scoring numbers, like, he's been playing really well in terms of the scoring. Minnesota, man, like, whew, what is going on here? I think they've just kind of got to figure this thing out. Rudy Gobert started out playing really well, but, you know, and I still think he could play well in this spot again, but 7 rebounds against this team the last time, no way that happens again, right? No way lightning strikes twice where Rudy Gobert is at 7 rebounds. And I know this is more about the Spurs than it, but I'm saying the more players the Spurs lose, the more confident I feel in Minnesota winning this game. For what it's worth, I do really like Trey Jones in this spot again at 5,500. Like,
he should be right?
He should be a really good play. Another guy that I think could creep into consideration, possibly, Josh Richardson's 3,900. I'd love to see if they decide to give him minutes.
Give him 20 minutes?
3,900.
Yeah, throw a tournament dart with 20 minutes in a large field. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I love to see that. So, you know, if we get something like that, like it gets real interesting. And of course, you know, Keldon Big Body Johnson, he's in play regardless because he's already there with his minutes. So we don't have to, you know, have to fade him. But those cheap guys, Trey Jones and Josh Richardson, I feel like Richardson should get a few minutes because of the situation, right? Like, it feels like he should play 25 minutes in this game. And if that's so, I'm very interested against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Let's see who pops in that starting lineup. That'll be very interesting. If he starts, he's a great value play and worth the risk. Minnesota, anybody can go off against the Spurs. If I had to pick, I'm picking D'Angelo Russell because he's shown us the upside at his price. I know Cat is very cheap. Don't love the matchup. I don't know. It just seems like a weird fit for Cat. I like Jakob Poeltl on the Spurs side. I'm kind of bouncing back and forth there. He's been getting a lot of minutes. And, you know, whenever he can stay out of foul trouble, I know it's Rudy Gobert on the other side, but he's a pretty decent point-per-minute producer, so I'm trying to keep that in mind. Can I run, like, a laughable sample size by you? I mean, it literally is, like, nothing. But I took Vassell and I took Vassell off the court this season. And Keldon Johnson has somehow played 41 minutes without Vassell already. So there's clearly some rotation staggering that, you know, is happening. And I haven't physically watched the Spurs game. But, you know, he's averaging 1.42 fantasy points per minute during those. And it's not all in the same game, right? Like, you know that 42 minutes isn't one game where Keldon Johnson just got hot, right? So I don't want to go back through court IQ and take all the guys of Spurs lost off the court. It's just going to be weird. Just as weird amount of data probably as we're getting right now. But I think there's a path for Keldon to have that 50-point game. And maybe it's tonight, whatever day it is.
Yeah, it could be tonight.
We're both on Keldon. We know what his upside is, so he's going to get some shots up for sure. But, yeah, I like your Trey Jones call quite a bit as well. Anything on this game, or should we talk about Houston and Utah, which is
– Oh, man, this game should be good because this is a repeat game, right? Like, we thought this game was going to be good in the previous matchup, and it didn't materialize the way we thought. But this is a repeat. I'm looking for big things. I'm going to let you kick this one off, Luch. What are your thoughts? I've got some thoughts, but, man, this is a big game, I think.
Well, if I'm a betting guy, and clearly I am, I'm going to say that Markkanen won't go over 6 from deep again. And I think he has some decent upside still at 6,500. I mean, hell, we've had 4 games of data, and we've seen him drop 50 twice. So I think Markkanen has just as good a shot of anybody on this slate to go for 45 DK points in this matchup. I don't care what happened in his last game. You know, that's it. I also think Jared Vanderbilt has pretty sick upside in this game. He's going to hopefully play 30 minutes. We know he rebounds. We know he can score in high-paced games where there's not a lot of resistance. And God forbid you get a 5 or 6 steal game out of him, which is in the range of outcomes. I think he becomes really interesting as well. Colin Sexton doesn't have the role we thought he would have when he got traded. You know, Mike Conley's probably going to have to get dealt for him to take on 30-plus minutes. And I think eventually Mike Conley probably will get traded this season. So we're just going to have to wait and see. I love Jalen Green. I love his props. You know, 6,600. I just think there's probably other places to go on this slate. Kevin Porter's been an absolute animal. I think the 7,600 price tag is warranted because he's filling up the stat sheet as well. Gun to head, I think I'd rather pay for Kevin Porter than play Jalen Green on this slate. Listen, we're seeing Jabari Smith get priced up. The big thing here is Sengun is listed as out. So. And so is Fernando, by the way. So you have Fernando and Sengun that are out. Like, we know Jabari Smith has a massive role. That should increase here even more. My thought is we're going to see KJ Martin get a ton of burn again. He's played 30 minutes in back-to-back games with both of these big guys being out. Listen, Martin played 34 minutes in this Utah game, was 1 for 9 from the floor. Much like Markkanen, I'm pretty confident that Martin won't play as bad as again. So I'm willing to go right back to Martin.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you, bro. Like, it's that should be the case. Like, there shouldn't be any reason at all that these guys don't play better. So I'm very excited to get in on that action. So let me ask you this question. especially since this game was somewhat of a letdown, do you think people shy away and say, oh, we'll just do it a different way? Because I think in this game, I think you can legitimately get three or four pieces from this game if you build it right. And I think I start with Lauri Markkanen. I think that's where I start. It just feels like he just had kind of his bust game of the early part of the season. I don't see him getting less than 40 in this spot this time, right? Like, got it. And then, you know, you flip that back around because Utah, in my opinion, just kind of has this random collection of center plays. Like, Jabari Smith ends up just being squarely in play at 6,500. Like, I don't feel like anybody's actually going to slow him down too much. So, I like him. Those are two. So, Mike Conley, to me, is sneaky. He only played 27 minutes in that game. But he's probably a little bit higher floor, lower ceiling. But I still think that there's upside there. Does he have more upside than Clarkson? Probably not. But I'm going to need Clarkson to continue to play 35 minutes for Clarkson to have ceiling because he's no different than Jalen Green. He's got to score points.
I think, yeah, I like this game. And I think people are going to play it. But so I also think Giannis is going to be the most popular stud, rightfully so. And I think you could probably get two good, fairly priced pieces from this game in a Giannis build. But I think maybe three is the way. If you're not going to play Giannis, maybe you do two from, you know, you play a Markkanen or Mark Kennan, if you're listening to me on Crunch Time last year with Dean. You play a Markkanen, you know, you play Vanderbilt with him or something like that. And then you run it back with a third piece from Houston or vice versa, you know, because like if you want this game to be good, if you're kind of mini stacking it, like you're going to like that means Kevin Porter or Green, like one of them are probably going to have a ceiling game. Right. And then that means Markkanen or one of these other guys from Utah are probably also going to have a ceiling game. So I don't know what the Giannis builds are going to look like. Like, I think it's unlikely to have like three to four pieces from this game in a Giannis lineup. You know what I mean? Just because, like, for it to work out. Because if this game's going to be good and live up to the fantasy hype, you're going to have to pay for Kevin Porter or even, you know, Markkanen or both of them. And there's, what, like 14-something of salary right there. So I like this. I kind of like the idea of playing this stack without Giannis maybe, which for large field tournaments, you know, could be a death sentence in smaller field stuff if we both think Giannis has the game against Brooklyn that he's likely going to have. But you know, it's a gambling sport of likely and unlikely. And with the unlikely hits, and if you don't have Giannis, or maybe it's a blowout, or maybe he goes for 50, a modest 50, you know, and then that game stack goes crazy. I mean, I'd take 50 out of Giannis, but would much prefer 60 at his price on this 10-game slate. Maybe the Utah-Houston game goes crazy. We've seen Houston be fantasy goldmine last year. Crazy games, you know? So I kind of like this, and I kind of like the idea of building a full stack here without Giannis and hoping it just goes bonkers and maybe the Milwaukee game's kind of a blowout or something like that.
Absolutely. I like your thinking, my friend.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, there are cheap pieces in there to go cheap in this game and still have Giannis, right? Like KJ Martin, super cheap and stuff like that. But we'll see what kind of injury news shakes out. Anyway, two more games to cover here. The Lakers just stink. And they have all these Q tags, and they're just stink. They're built poorly. Man, I'm just being blunt tonight. Like, are they a championship contending team in your eyes, Chief?
Come on, man. No. I don't think so. Like, not at all.
I'm glad we're on the same page. I wasn't sure where that long pause was going.
Come on. Like, what? There's nothing about this team that says, woo, championship. You know what I mean?
Not if you're giving Russell Westbrook 25 minutes.
So I was talking to my son today, and he was saying that Stephen A. Smith was saying that they needed to trade AD. And I didn't get a chance to hear his reasoning behind it. But here's what I will say. If I'm a Lakers fan, I should just blow this team up. Like, who's one of the biggest contenders right now in the NBA that can afford Anthony Davis?
I don't know. You tell me. Who's on your mind?
You may have to pull off some sort of a trade, but I'd be trying to send him to a real contender. Not a possible contender, right? Like a real contender, somebody that would give up some pieces. Like maybe a team like Boston. Which feels yucky, but you send them to Boston, you know, maybe they send back, maybe they finally let go of Marcus Smart. Maybe they finally send Marcus Smart packing. They get rid of old man Al Horford, and they get some of those picks that are in the cupboard that they all hoarded from Danny Ainge, right? If they still
would you trade Jaylen Brown in a deal to get Anthony Davis?
At this point, no.
I agree. But last year, this time, he was hot on the chopping blocks, and then all of a sudden, Boston pulled it together, went on a rampage, and it was water under the bridge.
Yeah.
But he was very much so heavily rumored to be dealt this time last year around the league.
Yeah.
He's also gotten a lot better every year he's been in the league, including from this time last year to now. He's just gotten so much better.
Yeah. The Lakers have pretty much cost Russell Westbrook one last contract, in my opinion. Like you know what I mean? I think Russ still had some life left, but Russ needs to go on a team where he can just run around and do his thing. And the problem is Father Time, his game was built on athleticism, quickness, aggressiveness. And but you can't play that style forever in the NBA. At some point, your jump shot has to come together so you can use that part of your game when you need it. You know what I mean? And
I feel sad watching it because we're seeing a guy who was just so damn gifted and good, and Father Time has smacked him.
I mean, the guy's been a league MVP. I think we've forgotten that. Yeah. He was a league MVP.
I still think of that playoff series where Russ was with Durant and they lost the series to Memphis. It was the series where they had like a 6 overtime game, and I was like, man, or whatever it was, that whatever year that was the year for Oklahoma City to get it done with Russ and KZ. Yeah. And we're going back.
And I know we're going down memory lane here, but my point is, if I'm the Lakers, and I know they can do this because, you know, the deal is LeBron did get a championship for the Lakers, no matter how you want to slice it. It may have happened in the bubble, but he got it. He earned it. That Miami team he played was playing really well.
Yeah.
And he still pulled off a championship. So he's got one.
They pulled an LA Rams. They sold the stock to get a Super Bowl, and now they're hurting and paying for it.
Right. But they got what they wanted out of the deal, which was the championship. Right.
And so did the Rams. And we talk about the Rams on Food for Thought, who are still a very talented football team, but they got a lot of flaws and they got nothing set up for the future to try to make a move. Right.
Right. Right. Exactly. So once again, LeBron James is probably going to have the questionable probable tag all season. I am shocked that some other guys don't have it. Anthony Davis is going to have the questionable probable tag all season. And, I don't know if I want to play anybody from the Lakers against Denver in this spot.
I'd have AD or LeBron. I wouldn't play them together, but they've been fantasy-wise, they've been producing. And if we go back to the Nuggets-Lakers series, we saw AD kind of have his way despite like dealing with Jokic and things like that. It proved to be kind of a mismatch for the Nuggets from time to time. So, you know, after I thought about that, you know, I think AD and LeBron, they're cheap enough too. It's not like they're 11K. So I'm okay actually with that exposure. Anyway, talk to me about Denver here. Good Lord, CJ McCollum was 6 for 20 from the floor. You know, had 11 more shots than anybody else in the damn team, and I think the research was right. Sorry, I'm like live tilting. That's all I'm gonna say. That he didn't lace the shoes up to put the ball in the hoop tonight.
Yeah. I mean, so when it comes to Denver, so here's what I'm waiting for with Denver. When is Jamal Murray going to be back to being Jamal Murray? And is it ever, right? Is he ever going to be back? Because he's really been injured for, what, 2 seasons now? Like, at the end of the playoffs in the bubble, where he was, like, trying to carry this team to the championship. And then
– he was great.
Yeah. And then that's the last we saw – the real Jamal Murray. And now what I'm asking myself is the Jamal Murray we see now, is this him because of all the injuries? Or is he going to ramp up and get back to being Jamal Murray? Because what I'm thinking about is, He was never going to be an MVP like Derrick Rose, and he was never going to be probably a super rising star like Brandon Roy. But this feels like a Derrick Rose, Brandon Roy situation.
Man, this is a sad podcast.
but you're
kind of right. I'm pulling for the kid.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't. Does he get back?
I don't know, but I will tell you, it's not going to be. It's not going to be today. So I'm not interested.
No, Michael Porter, no.
I mean, I would have Jokic in the player pool, but just give me your devil's advocate of you know, why you're not really feeling LeBron or AD tonight, and then we'll move on.
I think they get blown out. Like that's really all it is. I think this team gets blown out. I mean, they're at Denver, and not that they haven't had days to get ready. Look, LeBron's the consummate professional, but I don't think they have enough. It's kind of like when they were playing the Warriors, and they hang around, but LeBron can only do so much. AD can only do so much. And when these other teams have guys that are playing and scoring in bunches and they can't keep up, they look up and they're down 20. They were just down five minutes ago, and now they're down 20. And it's just, you know, they just don't have enough to keep up with the good teams. And I think this is a game they could lose by 25.
Hear me out. I don't think the Nuggets are playing exceptionally well either. If Michael Porter Jr. is out and Jamal Murray is not going to give you 30 minutes, I would want Lakers for large field tournaments. I would want to play AD or LeBron, and I want to spend 40% of my salary here and play Jokic with him, because if the game is actually good, if Jokic gets 35 minutes, that's a scary fade on any given slate. And you can say the same about AD and LeBron, but the game's got to be good, right? But they're both under 10K. So if this game's fairly competitive, and maybe the wheels finally fall off midway through the fourth, but they get their minutes and they're not getting yanked. This is a classic case of, I want to correlate the shit out of this. Excuse my language, but I would want the run back here, because if you're going to tell me AD is going to play 35 minutes and Jokic is giving me 35 minutes, well, then I would feel pretty good about a late night hammer here. And I would just cross my fingers and hope that maybe one or two of those earlier games with Giannis and the Houston exposure, maybe one of them stinks. And then maybe you got a shot to do something a little different here. Because I'll tell you this, I don't think many people are going to pair any of these Lakers with Jokic and, you know, make that their spend-up kind of run back. That's just my two
spots. I don't think that. Yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah. I wouldn't play the Lakers alone, I don't think. Like, by themselves without a Denver run back. But who are you going to run it back with, right? Like, maybe something opens up if Porter Jr. is out. But neither of us are willing to play Jamal Murray right now. I don't think. I mean, maybe you are. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know we were just talking about it. I mean, would you play Jamal Murray and hope he gets hot in 27 minutes kind of thing?
No.
Okay. Anyway, that's my tournament thought here with, you know, the studs in this game. But Portland-Miami, let's just wrap it up here. We saw the real Dame time come around in the last week, had a monster game. We saw Anthony Simons hit like 7 threes in the third quarter of his most recent game. So we've seen some crazy stuff here. But you have Miami, and we know what Miami does, right? They play defense. They play slow. You have interest in anybody in this ball game collectively here?
Despite the situation, I think Bam at 7,200 is okay. Like, I took him, like, Bam's fantasy points are going to pick up too. I think they're just getting adjusted, in my opinion, to Tyro playing big minutes every game now, right? Like, that's an adjustment, because Tyler Hero would play minutes, but he wasn't like a staple part of the team. Okay, hear what I'm saying, because I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying. Tyler Hero is now playing starters minutes, right? Like, extreme starter, like 35, 36 minutes a game, where last season maybe he was 30, 32, 28. You get what I'm saying? So, to me, I think there's just an adjustment period, different feel. You know, they know Kyle Lowry. You know, Kyle Lowry just probably got his last big contract, right? He's playing big minutes, but he's not going to be as impactful in the offensive side. That's Hero's job, that's Butler's job, and that's Bam's job. So I said that to say this. Playing against Portland, in Portland, I don't hate Hero and I don't hate him. Jimmy Butler is always going to be Jimmy Butler. But, you know, and I think he's still got to ramp up. But Hero and Bam feel like replays to me. Slightly younger, going to get up and down the floor. Not that Butler won't get up and down the floor, but this Portland game should keep a pretty good pace. And so Hero and Bam, to me, are the guys I want to get involved with from this Miami team.
You know, I think of Miami, and I think of I don't want to play anybody on the other side. Rule of thumb, unless it's a really good situation. If I'm multi-entering, I don't mind playing some Damian Lillard by himself. He's, you know, speaking of guys coming back from injuries, this guy's been playing 35, 40-plus minutes in a couple games here. He's had one game with a usage over 40, and he's been crushing it. He's looking phenomenal. Miami has not been playing good defense so far this season. I know we're talking about a couple-game sample size, but the defensive rating hasn't been fantastic. I think Father Time's completely caught up with Kyle Lowry, as you said. He can't stick with Damian Lillard. If Lillard's playing at this level, like, I don't think they're going to throw Butler on him either. It's the NBA. How often do the best players guard each other? That only happens in college and high school, buddy. So, like, I don't mind. No one's going to own Lillard. No one's going to own Lillard against Miami last game of the night, at least on DK. I don't have the FanDuel salary in front of me. If he's, like, completely mispriced on FanDuel, then sure. But, man, I can see Lillard coming in like 5%. He drops the hammer again and just, like, takes over. I think he's in the range of outcomes here. I'm not rushing to do it for a single entry build, but I don't mind playing some Lillard. But I like your Miami take, so that's just my Lillard take.
Yeah, man.
Are you going to tell me I'm crazy? Tell me I'm crazy.
You're crazy.
Thanks.
All I need is you're not actually crazy. You're not actually crazy. I will say, man, Lillard at 94 on the other side, he is dialing up the scoring now. But I like the Miami guys more than the Portland guys for what it's worth. Now, Nurkic at 67, do you give him, like, I feel like he's still got some upside there, but I'm not as into Lillard as I am some of these other mid-range pieces. Not going to play Josh Hart, even though he's 5,800. You know, Jeremy Grant, I don't really want to play him either. Jeremy Grant's a good player, right? But he's not a good fantasy player.
He's okay. Can we just, like,
I'm saying he's a glue guy. He's not the star, but he's a glue guy. He can score some points. He can play some defense. But in terms of fantasy,
he's a Norman Powell. He's a wing that's athletic and can put the ball in the hoop sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Can we just, like, Portland's 4-0, by the way. So they're actually
I know.
They're playing some pretty good basketball. I don't know. I think Dame has a sneaky game. Maybe he's in a tournament winner.
I mean, listen, we knew Chauncey Billups was going to make this team play better. Like, they weren't completely healthy last year anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
there's more than one reason Damian Lillard stuck around in Portland, right? Of course, he's very loyal to the city. The city loves them. But clearly, the Billups connection was a big factor in him saying, we're in the NBA is the league of all leagues where you can go wherever you want when you demand a trade, especially when you're a superstar. And there was a billion rumors last year. Where was Lillard going to end up? And you know where he ended up? At home. And Billups, I think, is a big factor why. And he seems to be tearing it. I don't know. Damian Lillard, hot take, large field GPP, optimal lineup. What's your hot take? How many points does Ben Simmons have? Is that it?
Ben probably picks up. I'm going to give Ben 8 points tonight.
Okay. Is that your hot take? Or do you have one for me? I have another one for me. What, after we broke down this whole slate, what you know, what's hot? What are you on that you maybe weren't an hour ago?
Probably the Miami guys, even though we just talked about that game.
Yeah. Donovan Mitchell. We started the show with.
I don't think that's much of a hot take though. Like,
I don't think anyone's going to own him, though. Imagine playing Mitchell and Lillard as your, like, 9K spend-ups, and they combine for, like, 15% ownership, you know, and both go for 50-plus.
Yeah. I mean,
it's funny. We started the show with probably a low-owned guard at that price, and then we ended the show with a low-owned 9,500-ish guard. I don't know. But, like, we talked about so many guys in good spots in the middle. It's hard to – really want to play.
So let me ask you this. Is this a hot take? Is this a hot take? Julius Randle goes for 50. Yeah, see, that's not a hot take. He's playing Charlotte, right? Like,
I literally was going to say.
Sometimes you just have to make good decisions, right? Like, sometimes we overthink DFS and we get too cute and we don't just do the obvious. Like, you should play Julius Randle today. He's facing Charlotte, right? Like, if, and guess what? For 38 fantasy points, but it's still the right play. You should take, or you should, right? You should get some Vooch shares. He's facing Indiana. You should play Mitchell Robinson, right? Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's just certain things you should do when you're playing certain teams. You know, how high on is Siakam going to be when he's pretty much cranking out 50 every game and Philly's not playing great yet? He's probably a walking 50 burger tonight. Like, those are the things I'm looking at. And it's like, these are the obvious plays. And how much ownership is on the obvious? You know, you should play, go back to Lauri Markkanen tonight. You know, so it's like, those are the things I'm looking at. And I'm saying, what's obvious, what's not? Where does the ownership land? And then how can I exploit that?
Those guys would all be a big bulk of my player pool if I'm multi-entering. And I would try to get overweight on some of those under-owned guards we were talking about. But the first thing out of my mouth was going to be, we can't ignore Julius Randle today on Wednesday. I think he's in line for a really big day too. So that's it, Chief. Where can the people find you on Twitter? We'll wrap it up and head out of here.
At ChiefJustice06. You can also find me in the RotoGrinders Discord. Hashtag Chiefs Prop Shop. Get in there. Let's make some money.
Hope this helped you guys. Thanks for tuning in this week. Check out our Food for Thought podcast as well. That was an awesome episode. Let's win some money. For the Chief, Will Priester, I am the Looch, Justin Carlucci. Good luck and enjoy the rest of your week, everybody.